And welcome y'all to Conversations with Dean. I am Dean. That over there is Big Homie Dave. What's going on, player? How you feeling?
Hey, what's going on, man? Another day. Nice little cloudy Sunday, you know.
Right. It's nice. It's cloudy out here. The fucking elements is out here fucking with us. I ain't talking about the group, but you know what I'm saying? But it's cool. It's cool. Mother Nature does what she does, and we'll be fucking sunny tomorrow. We're in that weird springtime, right? Yeah. Now, before we get into the conversation, because Dave and I got a lot to talk to you motherfuckers about. A lot of y'all asleep. We're going to try to wake you some bitches up. If you just listen, the only thing, I think the old proverb is, you could bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And that's all me and Dave are just going to do today is guide your punk asses to water. Now, before we guide you to water, I got a question for you, Dave. You did your taxes?
Yeah, just did them about a week and a half ago.
Did you like the results of your taxes?
Man, I didn't like him at all. I really didn't.
You didn't fuck with it? You didn't fuck with it?
Didn't fuck. Nope.
Now, listen. There's some people listening to this shit right here, right? And they probably went through the same thing you went through. Or maybe before they even go through it, they had a bad experience with their motherfucking accountant from last year. Listen here, people. I'm just trying to help y'all. What you need to do is go holler at the men and women at JGA Tax Services. Let me tell you what these motherfuckers know and how they operate. This pandemic has been a son of a bitch. It's been a motherfucker. Now, we understand that a lot of people lost their jobs. They had to go to unemployment. Did you know that the first $10,200 is tax-free of your unemployment? Did you know that? I didn't know it. You know who told me? The script. And you know what the script? You know who sent the script? JGA Tax Services. You know what else these motherfuckers told me to tell you some bitches about? Is about that new child care tax. Let me talk to you. Sit down. No. Don't skip ahead of the ad. Don't skip, motherfucker. I'm trying to learn you something. Damn. Listen, motherfucker. The damn child tax credit went from $2,000 to $3,000, and then they upped the age from 16 to 17. Did you know that? I bet you didn't. I didn't know it. You know who told me? The script. Where the script come from, people? Say it with me one more time. JGA Tax Services. This is a minority-owned business, folks. They look like you and I. They go through our fucking experiences so they understand how our dollars work for us. That's how they're going to know how to protect your motherfucking shit and get you the best return on this. Now, let me tell you something else. One more again. There's something else that these motherfuckers did. It's, we spoke about that earlier with the American Rescue Plan. Listen here, people. There's a lot of things that these people cover. They can cover your own personal taxes. They can cover your business taxes. You understand that now the IRS is looking out for people selling shit online. You're not going to be able to hide that as much. I'm telling you, the people at JGA Tax Services has got you, motherfucker. So here's what I want you to do. Don't even do me the favor. Do yourself the favor. Yourself. I want you to go ahead and call this number. 631-542-2344. Once again, it's going to be 631-542-2344. Use the Berry Gang at the Berry Gang 1 code when you call. Make sure you let them know that Dean and Lo sent you on down there to get right with the motherfucking get right. Go ahead and get your bread right. Get your bread right. Go ahead and do the right thing. Now, Dave, there's one more bill we got to pay. One more bill we got to pay, baby. Now, listen here. I done told you how to protect your dollars. Now I'm telling you how to put your dollars into a black business, right? Right? We're going from minority business to a black business now. You know what I'm saying? Listen here, people. As the good man Los would say, if you got fire, fire it up. So hold on real fast. Yes, people, I got to do bog. Yes, I know what to do. Yes. Listen here, people. Go ahead and pull up your Instagram machine right now. Yes, motherfucker. Pull up the Instagram machine because I know you got this bitch on YouTube or you listen to it on a podcast. So pull up the Instagram machine. Go ahead and type this in, motherfucker. Stoner Life Clothing. 420 710 LLC. I'm going to say it one more time again. Stoner Life Clothing. 420 710 LLC. And what are you going to see there, ladies and gentlemen? Let me ask you what you're seeing. Let me see. Are you seeing that new Munchie Man merchandise about to come on out? Are you seeing that new out of order t-shirt? Maybe you're looking at that new Jack Harris t-shirt. They got pins, they got pendants, they got motherfucking stickers, people. And they even do personal orders. Listen, Dave, he wanted to hit him up and just be like, you know what? I want to make myself into a character. Make me into a character for stoners. You know what they're going to say to you, Big Dave? We got you, homie. And the only thing you got to do, Big Dog, as you're firing it up, the only thing you got to do is go to Stoner Life Clothing, 420 710 LLC on the Instagram machine. Hit them in the DMs, place your order, and use the at the Berry Gang 1 code. And I promise you, motherfuckers, when you tell them that Los and Dean sent you, you're going to be taken care of. Now that the bills have been paid, people, now that the bills have been paid. One more second while I go ahead and get this right. That was time. Big day.
What's going on, Dean?
What's up, player? We here now. The bills are paid. Now we can talk some shit.
Bills are paid. Yeah, that's a nice feeling, huh?
Yeah, you know, hey, listen. You got to get these motherfuckers paid. We still got more bills we got to pay, but we still, you know, it's a good damn start. So if any of you other motherfuckers want to sponsor a podcast on an episode, hit the DMs up, player. We looking out.
We'll even
do some shit just for your shit. Did you not see the ad, how fire that was? I'm telling
you,
bro.
All about the delivery, man. You got the delivery down pat.
I'm trying to, baby. I'm just trying to do a little something different out here for the people. Now, you and I were talking, and the reason that I asked you on the episode, I want the people to understand, is that, you know, the Twitter machine is a very, very dangerous and good machine. And I see Dave active on the Twitter machine. And what I've noticed is that you get it, brother. You get it. You understand what they're trying to do. You understand the machine. You understand where you fit in this machine. You understand how to fight it. So every time we're interacting, or I see you share something, or you like something, you retweet it, or I may retweet, and I'm just like, huh, I like this. We can have a real conversation. And then I asked you on here, and the first thing I asked you about, and I let's get it out the way before we get into any other shit, because who knows where this can go. But can we talk about identity politics? And here's the thing. I want to preface this by saying, I understand why there's identity politics. I understand why you would want a vote to vote in groups, in blocks. I try to tell the black people all the time. I try to tell us to take a page out of the Latino playbook. But it's bad when we get on this, when you get on, to me, in my mind, and I know people can call me up being a hypocrite, but when we get, it's dangerous when you get to the right and the left, because we've gotten to the point of identity politics that you can't say, hey, I support this, this, this on this side, and then I support this, this, this on this side. It's either one or the other nowadays. And I have a rough time accepting that, because I feel as if now they're trying to make everything white and black, no pun intended, but this world is grayer than a motherfucker. What are your thoughts when it comes to how not only do Republicans but Democrats play at this game?
Yeah, I think it's become a very, very complicated matter, especially like you said, with the Twitterverse being what it is. There's no longer room for you to, you know, especially myself being a libertarian, take the greatest points from both sides and try to bring them together to make the best opportunity for the people. But there's just, it's very hard these days to really, to pick and choose. They want you to be on this side of the fence, or they want you to be on that side of the fence. And as a minority, it's even harder, because people will, you know, come after you for your views, you know.
Yo, son. So, all right. First of all, that's bad on me for not even doing my research deep enough to know. I didn't even know you were a fucking libertarian. Shout out and motherfucking big ups to you, big homie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, okay. Let's get into the minority play of things for both of us, right? So you're Spanish, I'm black. The one thing that in our communities, I would say more in the black community, because I don't necessarily, until with Trump, I would say. With Trump, it became, if you motherfuckers voted for Trump, y'all were anti-Spanish people and you hated your heritage and everything. But prior to that, I feel as if it was expected of y'all to have y'all kind of like vote split, in the sense of like, it's not, when you think of the Latin community within America, they just not going to vote one side. Like it'll be funny to see a Cuban vote left.
That'd, I was just going to say, you have a big divide, you know, especially in the Latino community, where you'll have a lot of conservative Latinos and you have a lot of, you know, left-leaning Latinos as well. But if you look at our cultures, even, you know, you go back in time and you see a lot of conservative Christian Judeo values, which, you know, may or may not have been a natural part of the war machine. But
yeah.
You still see a lot of those conservative values that have come up, you know, through the times. And now you're just seeing this big shift in the other, you know, now there's becoming this big rift.
No. I definitely agree with you, because, you know, I have friends on both sides of the fence in the community, and it's odd because it's this, y'all are having the same conversation with yourself that the Black community has, which is like, if you're Black and you're leaning conservative, especially these last few years, it's been like, who are you? Like, they're wilding on you. Now, somebody like me, I'm dead smack in the middle. Because I feel as if more people need to be dead smack in the middle, because then we could understand and call out things for what they are. Like, for instance, let's talk about Joseph, President Biden. I'm not going to be, let's say, President Biden. Let's talk about you for a second. So you ran on this thing that you were going to get immigration under control. You said that you were going to have a pathway to freedom. You said that you were going to be getting rid of these cages. You said that you're going to be moving forward, have a more humane kind of thing. You said that building the cages with, you know, during, you know, when you and Obama did it, may have been not, they may have not been, you know, the best time, like the best thing for that moment. I think that's what you said, or something along those lines. I'm not giving a direct quote, but I'm paraphrasing it. You said this. This is what you said, Joseph. Joe, come talk to Joe, don't get mad. Don't get mad, Joe. I'm just talking to you. Now, they tell me, this is what the news tells me, baby. This is what the news tell me, the credited sources. They said that you got 800 kids in those same cages, Joseph. As Trump said, who built the cages, Joe? And now the question becomes, who's keeping the cages? Damn, you don't, what happened to that? And now I'm hitting you, shutting down the border. Basically the same thing that Trump did, but now you're doing it more reactively. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, we could talk about that. Or let's just talk about your history, Joseph. You said you went into the Black community and then you told them that that's where you learned about roaches at, Joseph. That's what you said about that. And don't get me wrong. You also supported segregation back in the day because Kamala Harris called that out. But then, of course, you know, you were allowed to change, Joe. You're allowed to change. But then you also said you was going to be canceling $50,000 in student loan debt. Is that canceled yet, Joe? You actually said no, you wouldn't do that. That would cost the country too much money. You are already walking back on half the shit that you said you were going to be doing. This is all going to tie back into identity politics right now for me, people. Stay with me. Come on the ride. Why are we not hearing more anger from the left? Why are you motherfuckers not even talking about now who y'all gonna get to prime? Who you guys gonna get to maybe primary this motherfucker? Excuse me. You can't have any. Actually, you could have somebody primary him. He can be primaried as a president. He doesn't have to necessarily be the incumbent, does he?
No, not necessarily. I don't believe so. Would be interesting.
What I'm saying is, this is something I agree with, but I know your Democrats aren't going to agree with. He's actually going to be putting infrastructure before healthcare and family. Everything you motherfuckers voted him in for, he's doing the opposite. My question then becomes to you, was he the best man to do the job, and how did we even get it to the point that it was him out of everybody on that stage? He was everything you fuckers said that you didn't want, but then you put him up there. Can we understand that the machine has everyone programmed to such a degree that you can't even objectively try to fix your own party? What happened? I have a question, Dave. What happened when Bernie ran? Not this past one, but in 2016. Do you remember what they did to Bernie?
Oh, yeah, they used Bernie up and then they tossed him to the side when it was time.
They did, right? I have a question, Dave. Didn't they release a memo saying they just have to gut Bernie? Right? Right? Not physically, but politically, right?
Am I wrong? Well, that even for them during 2016 was a little too extreme, but now you start to see where the real extreme lies in the Democratic Party now.
Right. But then because here's my thing, Dave. Yeah, I'm just trying to talk to you and hopefully the people are listening. Now I just have a question, right? So if they fucked the party over in 2016, why didn't more Democrats flip the bitch?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Right? Because what's happening with these Republicans now? Because they're mad at what happened with this Trump shit, right? They're mad at how when, you know, the votes for impeachment, people vote for it, whatever. They're mad that their representatives were not acting in what they believe was their best interest. So what are they doing? And I'm not saying that what they're doing is right. But what are they doing, Dave? Aren't they threatening to primary some of these motherfuckers? Right? Like, everyone's not safe. You've been hearing a lot of talk of getting rid of rhinos. Republicans in name only.
Yeah.
So why are we at this point where the left can't fix their own party for their own true views? Not that I don't agree with them, but why are they just letting the party use them?
I think the Democratic Party just, I heard a good quote the other day and it made sense. I wanted to make sure that I said it after you asked me to be here. It's, if you are not a liberal when you're young, you don't have a heart. And if you're not a conservative when you're an adult, you don't have a brain. And it made a lot of sense to me because you see the Democratic Party using a lot of these young Americans, just generating this emotional energy and just, you know, casting them out and having them do their bidding, essentially, you know. Right. It's becoming scary. It's becoming very complicated. They're attacking so many different avenues of our social, our culture as Americans. I feel like people are just overwhelmed in every aspect of their lives, that Democrats are just perfectly capitalizing on this opportunity.
And that's what I want people to realize, because we know what the Republican Party is, especially within the Black community. That's something that we're taught. But for some reason, you people forget the lessons that we also learned about the left. Politicians in general, left unchecked, as we continue to see, will run you into the ground. There is that COVID package was $1.3 billion. You Americans, we got $1,400. That's it. How much are these big corporations getting? How many tax cuts are going to small businesses that you end up finding out were ended up being abused or fraud related? Do we understand how wasteful these motherfuckers are? But then yet, and I guess this is my real problem with the Democrats at a core. And you said it earlier, something. You said this, and I was like, oh, that's fucking true. When you said they're coming at the American values. And listen here, people. We understand that there are certain things that have to change about this country. It's not perfect. Yes, we know this. But there are certain things in place that help us keep them in place. You people. With the gun reform, right? Let's have a conversation about the gun reform. You know what? I can't do the gun reform because I actually have an episode with me and Ed and just some fucking guy where we get really deep into the gun reform. But I'm just going to say this.
Okay.
I'm going to say this point because I can't leave it. Where the latest Colorado shooting, right? Do you know that the laws that they're trying to pass federally, those laws are already in place in the state of Colorado? So with the background checks on everything.
Right. Yeah.
With the ban of the semi-automatics, whatever the fuck it is. Like everything that they're trying to do federally right now that Biden said he may do with the stroke of his pen, with the executive order, everything they're trying to do, Colorado already had in place. And then the shooting still happened. So what is the answer? How you understand? And then here's what people are going to say. Well, he drove to the state that it was acceptable to. Okay. That's a fair point. But let's have a conversation on who this person was. People think that he was a Syrian sympathizer. Why is that not being brought up? See what I mean? What is in common that all these people have that they're going up shooting the place up? And I understand what you're going to say, white domestic terrorists. Okay. I'm going to give you that. I'm not mad at that. We can call them that because that's what they are. But I'm talking about what is the psychological profile? The FBI, you profile everything else. What is the psychological profile of these individuals doing this? Release this information to the public and then allow us to make a true, calculated, understanding judgment call on it. But you just trying to ban it all when, listen, there's a famous picture. There's a famous picture of Malcolm X defending his home. What the fuck does he have? A M1. Those people are going to say, what do you need a military grade weapon for? Listen here, and I'm talking to you people from the left, because the people on the right already aren't with this shit. When the Black Lives Matter protests sparked off because of fucking George Floyd, that honestly, if you want to say a Democratic government over there in the state of Minnesota is responsible for that shit. Y'all responsible for that. Y'all, that was y'all city and rent. The state, everything is run by y'all. Amy Klobuchar could have arrested them cops, but we're not going to get on that. But listen, oh, fuck. What was the original point that I was going before I got on the goddamn George Floyd? Oh, yeah. So in the beginning of the Black Lives Matter protest again, when the George Floyd thing kicked it all up, I remember all you saying one thing. I understand why you want guns. Because you saw how the police were coming at you with militarized weapons. Because our police are militarized, if you haven't realized it. Now, you motherfuckers don't like the cops, but you want to disarm yourselves to then have to call those same cops to come protect you. I'm confused. You people were in my DMs, hit my text messages up, talking about understand why you want guns, understand why you would need certain kind of weapons, because if you got to fight the system, you want to at least have a fighting chance. So why are you just willingly trying to just give your shit away thinking that that's going to solve the problem? How is it going to solve the problem? Don't talk to me about no motherfucking England, because then guess what? How many mass stabbings do they have now? People going to do what they going to do. What you going to do then? Ban knives? How you going to cook? Come on, son. What do you think, Dave? What do you think? I'm sorry. I feel like I'm just talking way too much.
Loving everything I'm hearing. I'm loving it because I think people underestimate the lengths at which the government will go to control our everyday lives. It's not a you versus I thing. It's not. They're making it that way. You know, I think that people need to realize that there's nothing more powerful on this earth than a united American population. That population is what won the world wars. That population is what made the greatest economy the world has ever seen. And I know that socially, we may not have been perfect. You know, we obviously have a lot to still work on, even in 2021. But the greatest thing that this earth would ever see would be a united American population. I think countries like China and Russia are laughing at us because, you know, our government has a country just up in flames, essentially. I mean, we had these riots, we had cities burning, you know, we had people dying, we have police brutality, we have the news telling us what and what not to believe. I think the people need to really come together.
But let's talk about coming together point, because you know, they're laughing at us, but you know, I'm laughing at China too, because people who listen to this podcast understand and know that I hate all of America's enemies. I hate them all. China, number one is China. You motherfuckers and us, it can't be two big dogs in the yard. No. Somebody gonna have to kneel, and I don't think that we're ready to do that yet. Russia, you don't even feed your civilization. You think I'm scared of you? Get the fuck out of here, Putin. The motherfucker said, "Oh, we got a bomb that can blow up the state of Texas." We got bombs that'll blow up Russia. You don't fuck with us. Now listen, Iran, y'all trying, starting your shit up, but y'all about 6 seconds away from us putting our foot all the way up your motherfucking ass. Don't get it started with me motherfucker on that shit either. And North Korea, y'all keep talking that hot shit. Let me make you understand something, North Korea. If you accidentally or purposely hit an American ally or an American vessel, you're done, son. China can't save you on that front. What are they going? It's going to be an appropriate action. Appropriate action is going to be us destroying your fucking whole. We're going to destroy your government. We're going to destroy it. And then we're going to unite South Korea. We're going to make it one Korea. You understand? So now, back onto the point of what I forgot even the first point I was going to say when I was talking about I hate America's enemies. Oh, yes. So now listen here. I can't stand these motherfuckers. Now, with China, you motherfuckers, let me talk to you for a second here. You were laughing at us talking about, you know, you get in the world stage, say, oh, America doesn't treat black people right. You right. And listen, y'all did meet with Fred Hampton. You right. You're right. You and Russia was funding that shit, especially during the Cold War. Russia was funding, you know, some black movement shit like that, trying to cause duress within the country. Yeah. Look at your history. That's true. We're not going to deny that. I understand that in certain sectors, but let us put it out there. You weren't backing the whole movement. There's certain chapters that y'all were affiliated with doing all the Lord knows what the shit. The same thing's happening with this Black Lives Matter shit. We'll get into that in a second. Now, let's not forget how y'all are treating Hong Kong. What about them riots over there in Hong Kong? What were y'all doing there? Worldwide, there were worldwide protests against governments over the treatment of their people. We see what happens in other countries, how they get run the fuck over by their governments because they can't do a motherfucking thing. You people, Americans on the left, you aren't trying to tell me you want to put more restrictions than already in place? I have a question. You already have it as a state in New it's a law in New York that if I had a kid and the kid went to school and did some real fuckery shit, based on that shit, if it was violent enough, dangerous enough, he showed a tendency, they could then call the cops to come and then attempt to seize my weapon. You already have a Supreme Court case out there right now talking about cops and seizure of properties. Basically trying to circumvent amendments, constitution, your constitutional rights. You understand what I'm telling you people? And you're trying to willingly give up your own defense against the system? I'm confused. What do you feel like you being in the military? You were in the army. I had a buddy in the army. He served from 2011. It was 2011. I think he said 2016 or something like that. He was in there for a minute. He was in Iraq, Afghanistan, and he did some time in what's that shit in Cuba?
Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah. Steez is legit. So. It's interesting because we have these conversations. I'm just like, yo, when you go to these certain countries or you look at other countries that you know some of your other peers have went to for whatever reason, just visiting, going through, whatever like that, and you understand the restrictions that they have on their people, doesn't that make your skin crawl? Like, just knowing that you really can't do nothing, like, especially over there in Europe. Like, they got the CCTVs. They can look at anything, no matter what, as long as they have a probable reason. Like, what does that make you feel like as ex-military? Like, what do you think about that as the government having that much power?
That's a scary thought, even for myself. You know, my first time I had went to the United Arab Emirates. I've been to Kuwait, Oman, and you see the lifestyle that these people live, and it's a big culture shock. You know, people really take for granted the freedoms that we have in America.
So here's my thing, and I'm gonna have to look this up while we're talking, but I need to know, because now there's just been this talk between Boris Johnson and Biden, because basically we're gonna try to fight the Chinese infrastructure plan. So it's supposed to be a United States and this Europe, British work, like, you know, well, at least us and the UK, like the England, coming together to try to create this infrastructure plan in the world to counter what the Chinese are doing.
Right.
But here's my thing. Now, over there in Britain, I knew that they had the Huawei technology, and President Trump said, if you keep that shit, I'm not fucking with you motherfuckers. Now, what do you see eventually happening with us, China, Russia? Like, here's the question. Like, I feel like, because we're already in a different kind of warfare with them right now. You're in the cyber warfare. Yeah. It's no holds bars right now. You know what I'm saying? Except for, like, the real big stuff is no holds bar. Do what the fuck you want. Because I guarantee you, because remember, people, all right, I tell you people that America has passed a law saying it can use propaganda against its people. That is against matters of the state, international matters. Now, remember, they could take any international matter, woove it in, call it for some state shit to use it for you. Now, you understand what I'm saying? But this is for matter of states. So we understand that China is doing, interfering in elections, doing whatever the fuck they're doing. We don't know what we're doing to their people. So trust me, I'm telling you, as good as we're getting it, we're motherfucking giving it. Don't you ever fucking forget. So as I'm saying, this is going to, you know, you listen, Dave, I want these people to realize and understand something. Our government doesn't let shit go down unless they really wanted to. This damn, I don't give a damn what nobody says. I'm still mad I put all this money and we didn't have a better defense against a goddamn airborne attack. That's a whole nother conversation. But trust me, when it comes to big dogs getting down, we still got it. Yep. So what do you, yep, do you see this eventually getting to a world war point?
I don't believe that there will ever be another world war, only because you look at the nuclear capabilities. I mean, a country like China, a country like the United States, a country like Russia, are they going to take the L? Are they going to surrender their country and their way of life and the way that they had things, you know, prior to entering this war? No, it's reached a point where now it's going to be a lot of cyber wars, a lot of, you know, trying to damage one another's economies, maybe attacking the food, biological, you know, things like like COVID. Now that they know what COVID can do, imagine what they can do with something 10 times more potent, something more dangerous.
Why are we not talking about the fact that this thing was stitched together? Listen, it has the University of India, and then it was fucking confirmed by multiple universities internationally, said that this thing looks like it was stitched and put together on the level that we can look at right now. There were other countries that have a better machinery and yada 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 that can, like, better technology that could tell you really what's underneath it. But from what we can see, surface level shit, this shit, it looks like Frankenstein. The Frankenstein of fucking viruses. So my question becomes, why the fuck are we not asking these questions? We run and take this goddamn vaccine. We don't know what the fuck is going. I'm confused. These motherfuckers, it's put together. When did this goddamn, listen. This whole time, these motherfuckers never told us the natural remedies to go to. First, it wasn't wear a mask or an asshole if you wear a mask. Now it's wear a mask. You see what I'm saying? Like, now, if you don't get the vaccine, you're going to be a fucking dickhead. I promise you, they're going to have a man take that.
Well, no. New York is looking to get the vaccine passport, so we'll see what will happen. That will be very shortly. Explain I just read that. To me. I imagine that anybody that wants to travel to New York is going to have to present a vaccine passport. Yeah, that's what they're looking to do.
What?
Yeah, very interesting. And I would imagine that's going to be the case for a lot of these states and countries.
This is, hold on. That's unconstitutional in America. You can't shut me. We will, fuck you. Listen here, Andrew Cuomo. We're going to lead right into it, but hold on one second. I got something to say. Listen here, motherfucker. You threatened, I believe it was Rhode Island, and it was another state. They were fucking coming at New Yorkers saying that they were going to stop New Yorkers from coming in, yada, yada, yada. You said you would sue them. You said you would take them to court. How the hell are we going to get to the point? And we're going to have a mandatory vaccine within America. America, you can't make people take something they don't want to within this country. And then you people want to tell me to give up my guns?
The timing couldn't have been more perfect for the party. Am I right? I'm just going to throw it out there. I've been bewildered since last year. I mean, it really is just it feels like a different form of existence that we're living currently.
And I know what people are going to say. Coronavirus is something you can give to somebody unwillingly if they aren't, like, you know, knowing, yada, yada, yada. So is the cold. So is the flu. I know what's worse. But what are the statistics of the deaths? How's the recovery? Once again, what are the natural things that you can use to fight against it? How is it, listen, why is it that no one was telling people to lose weight during this? Why was it that nobody was telling people to get your health right through this? To understand that would be a better chance. Why was nobody telling people that? Because I understand a lot of people who was getting early and a lot of people that was dying besides being older. But if you were obese with diabetes, it was like a death sentence. You understand what I'm saying here? I'm not saying it for everybody. I'm saying that there was people who was healthy getting it. The same thing as the flu. Somebody helped. Listen, the same way that, you know, you have young kids playing football. We all out there in the heat and you hear about some kid in Virginia, hear about some kid in Texas, hear about some kid wherever it is, and they died during practice. Things do happen to everybody. I'm not saying that. I understand that. But why is it just rush to take this medicine when there's natural things that you could have used to build yourself up, to even give yourself a better fighting chance? I'm just confused, people. And then when do we get to the point in America that you just don't let people kind of choose how they're going to live their life? I'm not saying that you couldn't have had programs and things set in place for people to stay home, to be able to work and whatever like that, because you've seen that you can have this adaptation because you would have had a sector of society at home. But then you could have had the sector of people who just would have been like, I'm just going to go out there and work, survival and fitness kind of thing. Let the cookies crumble where they may fall. You know what I'm saying? Now, listen here, just I may be who I am and how I live my life, but doesn't mean that when I'm going out, like, there's a reason why I haven't seen my people in a certain amount of time. Just because of my personal job, I can't get away from it. My people got pre-existing conditions. So I'm taking the right choice. And then I know that I am a little more lax and loose than I probably should be in my personal life, according to some of you, but I'm a grown ass man, so I do what I want, but I don't put them at risk with it. You understand? My partner, he fucking goes through the same bullshit. Like, you take your own personal risk. We have our own personal assessments, the same way every other American should have had. Now you have people whose livelihoods have been lost. Has nobody been talking about you all been talking about mental health? But ain't nobody want to talk about people's mental health when they were losing their businesses, couldn't pay their bills. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody was talking about the suicide rates that were going up. No one was talking about the domestic violence going on in the home. The child abuse is going on in the home. People used to love going to school, love going to work to get away from what they were going through at home. And you cut that off without giving them a fucking choice because you decided your life was better than theirs at the end of the day. That's what this is coming down to. If this is really America, we could have, and if we really knew how to work together, we would have understood how to come to a common ground, how to do something together. You decide that your life was worth more than theirs at the end of the day. Why? Because statistics? Is that what we're going through? Because statistically speaking, I have a higher chance of beating coronavirus than somebody does of not going through what they're going through when they're living in it already. Been living in it. Trying to get out of it. But their life doesn't matter as much as yours, I guess. I'm confused, I guess. I don't know, Dave. I don't know.
It's a tough one. It is a tough one. You have to ask yourself, you know, I laugh at work because they try to force us to wear a mask when we're going to and from, say, a different area of the, warehouse. Right. And, wear your mask when you go to the bathroom. Well, I asked my manager, let me ask you, would a surgeon wear this mask, these medical masks that most people are wearing? Would a surgeon take this mask, take a break from surgery, go to the bathroom, wash his hands, keep the mask on and go right back to surgery with that mask? It probably wouldn't. You got particles flying through the bathroom. It's just, I think people could do a lot better with taking care of their own health. Like you said, working out, eating right, eating whole foods, stop eating this processed garbage that, it's available, it's cheap. I understand. But at some point it has to become, your own choice, your own doing.
I have a question for you, Dave. Just a question. I just got a question for you, baby. I just got a question for you. Why hasn't Americans fought for healthy food to be more affordable? Why do we allow these fast food companies to put Lord know what the fuck in our food and feed it to us? This is what our government allows. You understand what I'm saying? I know people are going to say, well, Donald Trump eats McDonald's because he doesn't care. But why should the rest of us be subjected to you putting nonsense in our food? Why have we not fought for more affordable food to get healthy? I'm confused. Just talk to me, Dave.
I think there is a big lack in education about what actually is naturally organic food and what isn't. I would dare say that a majority of the population today couldn't tell you what the numbers mean on these vegetables when you go and buy them at the grocery store. You need to, understand that people aren't growing their own food like they used to. So people, some people don't even eat whole foods in their diet at all these days.
And those are the same people telling me to stay at home, wear a mask and fucking go get a shot because you don't have the self-control to keep yourself right. That's bullshit. Everybody's problems are their own. Your problems aren't someone else's problems. That's the at the end of the day. And I understand that, you didn't choose for your health to be that. And I'm not diminishing that. But what I'm saying is that I should have the choice to do with as I please. If there's enough of society, let them choose and then let nature take its course. Because if you're at home doing the right thing and in public ways you have it that people got to wear masks, whatever, I don't care. Okay, I'll meet you there. But why can't we have these places open? Why can't there be more places open? Why can't people get back to doing what they were doing? Because they're now becoming more dependent on the government. A government is only giving you $1,400 every 6 months. That's or seven, whatever the fuck it is. That's amazing. That's a great time. I know you're going to say unemployment, but then how much can you keep until you have unemployment if people aren't working to pay the taxes into that, to continue paying for that unemployment? Do you understand the math behind it? And then you're going to say go to a basic universal income. How do you just shift to that right now? You know how much taxes that's going to be on people? Do you understand eventually how to, you see what I go through, Dave?
Oh, I see. I live it every day. And
you know what I'm saying?
Watch out for Andrew Yang trying to run in this next upcoming election, governor of New York State.
I don't know if he's going to go for governor. I don't know if he's going to go for mayor. Because I know he's talking about mayor. No, of New York City. I know it's one of the.
I don't know.
You think it's going to be governor? But hold on. Before we get into Andy, before we get into Andrew Yang and his nonsense, oof. I think, Dave, that it's time. We've warmed up. We're loose now. We're ready to go. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I think it's time to have a conversation about the Emperor of New York. He has elevated from king, baby. We are now talking about the Emperor of New York. We're talking about the man who can do whatever he wants. What do you know the Emperor's name, Dave?
Oh, Andrew fucking Cuomo. Andrew fucking Cuomo, the Emperor himself. I like that.
Oh, Andrew. Andrew, please come up to the front of the stage, because once again, you can't fucking stop. I'm tired of talking about you, Andrew. I'm so, son, Dave, you know what's so crazy about this shit? My mentor, right? My big brother hit me up. Big brother OG Jones. He was like, yo, are you just like the self-proclaimed Andrew Slayer now? is this what you're doing now? You're just picking on Andrew. I'm like, I'm not picking on Andrew. Andrew continues to do things that draws my attention once again. Now listen here, Andrew. When COVID tests were limited, this is for the people who don't know. When COVID tests were limited, Andrew was given preferential treatment to his mother, to his family, which his family I get. I'll give you the family. I will. I know some people will be like, it's bullshit. I'll give you that. But you were giving it to executives? Some high-powered friends? At the family is one thing. But now just high-powered execs, high-powered friends getting preferential treatment. You allegedly for the people. COVID tests, where you were trying to procure a test. Ha. These people were doing the same thing for Eric Trump, too. They weren't not Andrew Cuomo, but, you know, Eric Trump kind of got some preferential shit, too. He went around some corners. Yeah. But you know who didn't give it to him? Donald Trump. Eric got that shit on his own. Donald didn't do it for him. Say what you want. Oh, Andrew. Every day you told me you were like Donald, and more you look like fucking Donald, a fucking scumbag. Now, you know what's crazy? Because before he said that he didn't even know if we was going to get legalized in New York. Now, all of a sudden, because he's going through
the timing.
Right?
The timing couldn't have been more perfect.
hold on, Dave. I think this is the list that we're at with Emperor Cuomo. So he beat his corruption shit back in the day, right? Now we have an investigation into his COVID handling of the nursing with nursing homes and the reporting of the deaths. We have that. Now we have an inquiry into, I believe, 8 women right now in regards to sexual abuse, which he deserves his fair chance in court for us to hear him out. But we're gonna smoke that fire. But let's hear you out in court, right? The Mario M. Cuomo Bridge, people are saying, has been unsafe. That's an inquiry right now because of the bolts. The bolts were being replaced before the goddamn bridge was even built. Interesting, right? And then how certain parts of the bridge are under extra warranty now. Extra year warranty. It's odd, baby.
If you look throughout history, and you will not like that term popping up, because we saw it, you know, with a lot of other tragedies in the United States. I'll just say that.
Right? So now, hold on. One more thing. We add to you giving out COVID tests to your friends. How have we not gotten... Yo, Dave, we got rid of Elliot Spitzer for getting his dick sucked by a chick whose last name wasn't Spitzer, and he paid us some bread. You got rid of Anthony Weiner for sending out dick pics. But we still got this cocksucker. I'm confused.
And he's got the goal to go on TV and say, I'm not resigning. He looked at everybody like they were stupid. I'm not resigning. What are you, crazy?
you understand the game that they playing out here for us, Dave? Like, but why is not more of New Yorkers calling for him to resign.
Yeah. The Democratic Party has a very strong hold, I would say, on New York City. You look at Long Island was red. Upstate was red.
Yeah.
It's where do you have the densest, you know, population, the city, and it's just, they have such a stronghold on it. I still don't understand why.
But then, okay, Dave. But then once again, I got a question then. Okay, I got a question, Playa. Everything he has been doing goes against the values that they preach. So once again, I'm confused. How do we get here? You see what I'm saying? Like everything you people kill, like you killed Trump for nepotism. He's done it. You've killed Trump for being a womanizer and an asshole. He's done it. You've killed fucking Trump for being corrupt. He's done it. You've killed Trump for fucking being a liar. He's done it. I'm not disputing that Trump was a dick. And I'm not disputing that Trump was a piece of shit. We know this, baby. I know this. He's a motherfucker. And I thought that people voted him in the office were fucking stupid. You vote in a motherfucker in the office who said he was supposed to be like you, but he don't know your damn struggle. How does a trust fund baby know what you went through? Trust fund baby whose money comes from corruption. Think about it, son. Oh, listen, he's talking about he want to take down the swamp, but he's in the swamp. I'm confused. Don't get me wrong. He did some shit. I did agree with some shit. But did some shit also too. And I was like, oh, of course. But the same thing, the same asshole as Trump, we just have as Cuomo just in the, he's just presented in a different way, people. Let's just take a step back, breathe in, breathe out, and let's get this motherfucker out. I think that's really, like,
you know, I really, really liked Larry Sharp, man, in that last one. I really did.
I was on the Larry Sharp wagon, bro. I did appreciate how Hot 97 gave him some run, gave him some play.
Yeah. You know
what I'm saying?
That was cool.
Was he on 105?
You know, I'm not sure.
I don't think he was.
Nah.
Mm-mm. But I think it's, I really wanted him to have one. That would have been fucking dope. But you know what though? He did what he had to do. He got enough votes now that the Libertarian Party is automatically going to be on his next governor ticket coming up.
Right, which is important.
Exactly. So now it's like, all right, we there. We just need to get, the issue is that, going back to the identity politics, let's get out of this whole right versus left, people. Let's get out of that.
Right.
We need to get what's right and what's wrong. You understand and you dig what I'm saying? Why the hell do we continue to have two people up there debating at all times? Always the Republicans, always the Democrat, no matter what it is. There's never a third party. And you people say all the time, well, you can't vote third party because you gotta vote. No, if more people voted the way that they really wanted to, America would be a lot different place because we would be able to have the true checks and balance in place. But right now you got everything leaning heavily either one way or the other. And nothing's truly going to get done because all that happens is one side comes in, does what they want. The other side comes in, reverses it all. And then we're all sitting here just kind of like, we have went nowhere. You took two steps forward to take four steps back. Two steps forward to take five steps back. 10 steps forward to take 18 back. I'm confused.
The corruption runs very deep. For instance, I have a story I'll share without the specifics. I had a buddy of mine working for, he was doing some hard labor, very good job that you would get in New York State. You know, many people fight for these kind of jobs. And this was actually right around Cuomo's last election, which he obviously won by a landslide. And they sat these gentlemen and ladies down in a room one day before work, and they said, look at the board behind you. We wrote all the names down for you. These are the people you're going to vote for. And when I heard this, I couldn't help but think, wait, somebody's telling you at work who to vote for? They're like, yeah, they gave us the names. You know, they told us what to write down and take it to the polls and go ahead and turn it in. It's just so un-American, but it makes perfect sense for places like, you know, New York State. I mean, it's just been built on corruption.
Yeah, they, you know, no pun intended. I'm not trying to make this like an Italian thing, but these mob ties run deep in New York. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm not trying to make any pun about that. I'm just talking about the whole mafioso style, the whole corruption. You know, New York City police force has been corrupt for a minute. You know what I'm saying? So it's we have a lot to go through. We have a lot to fix. And for some reason, we're adverse to really fixing it. Because these politicians, what they'll do is they'll show you the shiny red apple. Show you the shiny red apple. Get you up to get up from your food to put poison on your food for whatever it is that they really want to do. Give you the apple. You go back, eat the apple. You're happy. Then you got that other plate of food that they done had to concoct up and you got to eat it. It's good for them, but bad for you. And you keep talking about this us versus them mentality and these people that you allow to stay in office, these people that you love that are your champions, they continue to prove and show you that they're not really with the people. They're not really with what you want to say. I don't listen. These people voted one way 15 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, they all change and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like, I'm confused. I'm not saying you can't become a different person, but it's just wild how they would talk crazy one moment about you. Now, all of a sudden, they love you. It's wild.
That's what bothers me the most about this most recent presidential election is that President Joe Biden got more votes than any other president ever, more than Barack Obama. And I don't, I will go on the record and say that I don't think that Obama was the best president. You know, I think he gets a lot of praise for things that he shouldn't. He killed more people with drone strikes than any other sitting president ever. I mean, the man bombed a wedding with women and children just to get certain targets, he let the NSA into our lives. So, but you're going to sit there and tell me that the person who championed the crime bill in the 90s, right? We're talking late 80s, early 90s, dropped the hard R on camera. It blows my mind that people think 20, 30 years later and he's a completely different person. You know,
And you know what, though? Here's, like I said, I will understand growth. I won't argue that. But here's what I will say, just to maybe throw some fuel on your fire. Because I do understand you can grow and then, you know, certain things were good then that aren't good now. But still, you kind of know people because they show you who they are. But, you know, just put this. I want people to remember why Joe Biden was chosen to run with Barack Obama. He was the signal to the good old boys because Biden, at the end of the day, is one of the good old boys. The reason Biden was chosen was the same reason he chose Kamala. You got to go to the polar opposite of what you are to make those people feel comfortable enough to vote for you. Do people understand the dynamics of everything? And then you got to look at even Kamala's policies. Truthfully, let's get into it, Dave. Let's talk about the shit. I got a question for you, Big Dave. Was Kamala Harris on The Breakfast Club? Was Charlamagne the God, Angela Yee, and DJ Envy? Was she, Big Dave?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was.
When she was on there, did she say, you know, she smoked weed and she made sure she confirmed she inhaled? Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. She confirmed it.
Now, Big Dave, I'm just trying to make sure that my memory is on point. Are they firing White House employees, dismissing them, because they have admitted to smoking marijuana when their vice president did as well?
Yeah, they are.
And then they're using the crutch of saying that it's still illegal federally. Is that true?
That's exactly what they're going to do when every state. They're going to continue to do that. I would love to know the number of minorities that she got locked up for less than an ounce of marijuana possession. I would love to see that number. I really would.
You know what's the number I want to talk about more, Dave? And I think this number is more critical, I think. The withholding of evidence against people when you were prosecuting them, not doing the right thing in that regard. I can't. Her putting away the scum of society I have no problem with, but do it the right way. Don't circumvent the system and then all of a sudden tell me you're a champion of the people. You understand? Like, and the thing about it is I'm so sick of them just using these arbitrary things and they float it in our faces. Like for Black people, okay, they keep floating this weed thing in your face. But what is the, talk about the, in this investment of infrastructure, how much that's going to be going into the Black communities? How much that's going to be going towards fighting gentrification? You know what I'm saying? How much of that's going towards really true education? You know what I'm saying? Because you can say what you want about the Latinos, but they getting what they want. They're gonna get some kind of immigration reform because they're putting their votes behind it and they're watching it. But what are we watching for? What are our questions, really, truthfully? And is she really answering it? I understand she went to HBCU. Okay, you're gonna put more funding into HBCUs, but what about the public school system? Huh? Where most of our kids have to go through. I'm confused. What about that? What about putting aid back into the school lunch and even breakfast aids for kids? You understand what I'm saying? What about opening back up these public centers, funding, you know, putting federal funding behind nonprofits like the Boys and Girls Club, giving them more funding, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts? How are you
now?
Was
that discussed at all with the passing of the legalization of marijuana in New York State? I don't believe they covered what the taxes would go to.
No, yeah, no, they did. They said that 20% will go to economics, 20% will go to 20% will go to economics, 20% will go to, I think, education. I think 10% would go to like drug programs and awareness, yada yada yada.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm talking about what are black people federally holding these motherfuckers accountable for? What do we expect from them? What do we expect? Okay. You tell me you're going to do criminal reform, but what are you going to do for the other ones of us who haven't been, like, we got family members affected by that, but we're not, like, what about us? What are you going to do for our pockets? What are you going to do for our innovation? What are you going to do for our businesses? What are you going to do for our communities? For the homes that we own? What are you going to do for us? It's always about, you know, I'm going to say it, Dave, and I may get people mad, but fuck it. I used to get mad in school, Dave. You know why I got mad a lot in school?
Why is that?
It was a lot. You would see how they would always reach out to the good kids. I mean, the bad kids. There's always programs to help these motherfuckers. All these getting right, whatever, whatever. And the good kids are just expected to be good and kind of like, you got a few things here and there, but they're just, you kind of sometimes fall by the wayside, unless you get like a mentor, something like that, that grabs you up, right? That's how society is. I feel like, and I feel like it's a reflection of even the black community, the way that we some of the policies that we are always asking for, like what is the diversity within, why are we not asking for more? There's more that we can get more than just criminal justice reform done. You see what I'm saying? We can do more than just change their lives. Yeah. There's other black people that we can change their lives too. Innovation, more scholarships within school, better funding, more healthcare, more education, more trade. You see what I'm saying? But we're just always stuck on just one part of society. I'm just confused. No one gives a fuck about the good guy who may have slipped up once or twice. You either got to be a really, really deep scumbag or a really, really good person. But the people in the middle, you're fucked. And then the people in the middle are the people who keep society going. Those are the ones that you continue to tax, you continue to beat down, and no one really gives a fuck about. It's us who keep society going. Fucking assholes.
What can minorities do? I struggle. I think about this quite often because I feel so separated from, you know, now you just have, if you want to just look at Latinos, you have the conservative Latinos and you have the left-leaning liberal Latinos. And it's what the hell could make us all happy, or who or what can bring us together so that way we can have one voice, you know? Not that America should start segregating itself by ethnicity, but I think at a point we need to, you know, respect one another personally and figure out how we can just start to bring everyone together. It's just, I mean, nah, that's, I guess, the answer to life. Nah, it's not gonna happen.
Nah, don't do it. Nah, don't do it. Listen, here's what y'all should continue to doing. Y'all should have key points within both communities that are staples that don't move, that y'all vote for, like y'all support, doesn't matter, and y'all expect the same from the people that you put in office. Let your differences be where they are so your vote can continue to be fought for. Because the issue with the black community is that we've sold our vote out to motherfuckers who don't give a fuck. What do they tell you in business negotiations? You need leverage? Get some leverage, man. Come on. That's the one thing I admire with the Latino community. You motherfuckers came in here. You were like, ha-ha! Not today, bitch. Show me the money. I ain't voting for shit, motherfucker. I ain't gonna vote for a goddamn thing. Show me the money. Okay. I'll fuck with that. That's why black people ain't like that no more. It's just like, oh, yeah. You're right. We're going to go over there and fuck with them. Why? It's their city's killing us. It's like the same thing he's saying about the Republicans happening. Like, I'm just like, I'm just, you know, it's just a question.
Yeah, the working class people, you see that model. It's easier to look at it, I feel like, if you look at the boroughs and then you look at certain, you know, sections of, boroughs. And but yet they keep voting the wrong way. They just keep doing the things that are keeping their communities what they are, and they're not very good.
I feel as if we have gotten complacent within certain communities. It's like, let's challenge for more. Let's get more. Let's want more. They work for us. I'm tired of people hearing saying, well, what are you going to do? Get people in there to change the motherfucker around. Because you got Emperor Cuomo running fucking ruckshot. Because we don't got nobody out here really doing it. Like, it's amazing, Dave. It's amazing, Dave. But let's switch gears for this remaining, you know, hour or so. You know what I mean? Let's switch gears a little bit. I feel like I've been talking a lot, and I kind of want people to get to you know, kind of hear you a little bit, because I know people are going to be, I already know, but some of my listeners are going to be hitting me up already saying, like, yo, I didn't hear what the fuck he had to say, God. Like, my bad. So listen, just please, if I'm talking too much, just go ahead and cut me off, whatever the case may be. I'll try to get better, you know what I'm saying, shutting the fuck up. But I think this is the perfect way to kind of get into it. Let's talk about your jiu-jitsu journey, big dog. What got you into jiu-jitsu? Oof.
Yeah, man, jiu-jitsu, wow. I actually only started 2 years ago. Still a baby fish in the pond, as they would say. But my best friend, you know, we wanted to start training. We have a couple of friends who fight professionally. You know, let's go try it out.
Yeah.
Went and tried it out, and I was hooked instantly. Caught the bug. Jiu-jitsu is a very powerful tool. I will say that, a very very powerful tool for life that I've currently been using to, you know, get through the tough times.
It's amazing. It's not only just the self-defense aspect, but just like the mindset, the motto, the moxie, you know what I'm saying? Just understanding that, like, you know, just understanding that life is going to get you down, and just being able to fight from your back, fight up, get up, you know what I mean?
Right.
Jiu-jitsu is a very fun thing. It's very, very calming at times. I've done a little bit of it. I've always was going against people way better than me. Except for in college, there was like two other guys that we were around the same. So that was like fun. But it's a calming thing when you're getting choked out and you have to really calmly work your way out of it. Like, it really teaches you something, like when your man's like, he fucking took my back, locked me in the sleeper, like kind of like started like turn me over. So he's on his back. He like stretched it in, put his legs in between mine, like hooked the legs up. So then kind of started like extending my legs out a little bit, kind of like stretched me with it. And then it was a very common thing, but he didn't have it fully in because I had tucked my chin a bit. It's very common that when you still get your chin pushed up, so it doesn't really even matter. You still can't breathe.
Still hurts.
it's painful. But it was, I'll never forget it, just being like, I don't know, it's like this. I was like, okay, relax, big guy. This is what happens. Tuck it in. Come on, work in some more, work into the body a little bit. And that's how life goes. You know what I mean? Yeah, listen, you got to work. And that was the craziest thing when I learned that, when they were like, you got to work in. I'm like, what do you mean work in? Like, why would I do that? Like, you get some separation. I'm like, how?
Even when I heard it for the first time, it's, you know, for the people watching, if somebody ever grabs you in a rear naked choke, you want to turn in and lift the elbow. It's going to be your safest bet.
I don't want to do anything. I don't want to touch it. Like, turn it, he gets it.
you just, the natural thing to do is to try to turn away. And it's just, you know, unfortunately, in jiu-jitsu, you think it's the wrong thing to do.
No. Let me tell you something funny. My first time ever going against, first time I was doing jiu-jitsu was in college. We used to, for to keep in shape for football, we would roll out the mats and we would do jiu-jitsu, because we had one boy who did it, and he was teaching the rest of us. He had this fucking book. We would sometimes, like, you know, because he did it, but then, like, you know, he wasn't a master thing. He'd just be like, you know, for reference, he'd be like, all right, we're gonna practice this today. And we would just roll and just whatever. So our first time going out there, because I wrestled in high school. So I told him I got a wrestling background. He's like, oh yeah, you'd be perfect for this shit. Come on out here with us. And I'm like, all right, cool, we fuck around with it. So I'm doing it. So my mind is wrestling. Bro, son, we're doing it. We're doing it. He like went to take me down. We're still wrestling with, like, I'm still got, like, you know, I mean, I got good wrestling skills. So then I forgot what happened, but he got me from behind. And then I was working. I was going to work to kind of like, you know, try to break the grip. He lifted me. Instead of me going to my back in jiu-jitsu, as you would try to fight to your back to fight or whatever, or even escape, my first thing was like, oh, he's taking me up. I'm going to hit the ground and fight him like it was wrestling, right? Bro. He did that. I gave him my back. And he was the one teaching us, mind you. He's got the most experience in this shit. It wasn't, mind you, bro. We're both like 235, 240 pounds.
Oh,
it
man.
Is not, yo, it's gorillas in here, bro. He fucking, he cranked me, son. Man. Like, son. And then he was just like, you should never give me your back. And I'm like,
yo, jujitsu is like, I love it. I love it.
Oh, I love it. But that was, Yeah, no, it's fun. I'm just saying.
It teaches you so much. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, because wrestlers, especially, wrestling is such a useful tool for jujitsu. Wrestling itself, very powerful. The takedowns, the passing, the control, you know, the ruggedness of wrestling. But wrestlers will, or natural wrestlers who are getting into jiu-jitsu will have those habits that you just kind of laugh at. Like, I know a couple of wrestlers, you know, they just started, and I'm only a blue belt, you know, I'm still new. But the one thing that wrestlers will try to do when trying to pass, and I'm just playing guard sitting down, and the guy's just got his head tucked, and just guillotine after guillotine.
Bro, you fucking.
But it's just a habit that you guys, you know, carry with you.
It was, I couldn't help, so he cranked that bitch. But then, like I said, there was two other guys that was around, like, you know, we were around the same, so we were able to get good working amongst each other.
Oh, and those are the best, yeah, because you're just going at it.
Son, it was, but then a lot of it was just like a, like I said, like Gary at that point wasn't like where he is now in his jiu-jitsu, but like, you know, it was still very much guerrilla style. Like, I would say it was like guerrilla jiu-jitsu. Like, we were just fucking, all right, we have this, we have to learn it. I don't know if we were doing it. Like I said, and mind you, we were all like around, I think Duff was the heaviest at like 250, 260-ish. But we ranged from like the 230s to like the 250-ish, 260. So, you know what I mean? So you just have these fucking gorillas and we're in the, and we were in this like racquetball room. We would lay the mounts on the racquetball and we're just fucking hitting the walls. And it just was a very, jiu-jitsu is a very fun, like it's, especially when you got linemen, college linemen, you know, we were D3s, that's why we weren't as huge, but fucking, we're just out here just fucking, it was an interesting thing, and I bounced, so it helped me in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it definitely
incredibly was useful. Yeah, when you got a drunk guy, all you got to do is just, you know, relax, grab up. All right, buddy.
Yeah, come outside. On, let's go to bed. Let's just calm down. Now, speaking of the jiu-jitsu, what do you think about that Stipe and Francis fight that happened last night? Talk to me, baby. Talk.
Oh, man. So, you know, me, I'm very close with my uncle, and we're always watching UFC together. And I didn't get to watch it with him this time, but he was saying, you know, Stipe took him down last time. You know, it's his jiu-jitsu is really good. And I was just like, I think people are underestimating the power that Ngannou can produce. And I think it's apparent now that he's got a fucking... He's a very powerful dude. He's got knockout power.
Yeah, he got that knockout power. And he did look very dominant in this fight. He looked very, very dominant. It's a reason why he also said he's not interested in a Stipe 3 fight. With the John Jones stuff, before we even get into a John Jones Stipe fight, before we can get to that, we have to get to John Jones' comments. I want to talk to you about who my favorite UFC fighter is. And I don't think it would be a surprise to anybody why my favorite would be the good old American Black Beast, Derek Lewis. Now, I'm pretty sure you can look at me and tell me I'd be a Derek Lewis fan. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's okay. He's okay. So... I would love to get another Francis versus Lewis fight, because it's funny, because Lewis was on the Joe Rogan podcast. He was talking with Rogan and he was just like, yo, I want to have like a, I want to write that shit with the Francis fight. I got a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like that. Before he won the belt. Now he got the belt. John Jones, I don't know the situation. We'll get that in a second. But what do you think if we would get a Lewis Francis 2? What are you thinking?
Man, you know, Ngannou is going to be hard to stop. I thought he put on weight for this fight. I mean, was he like 260?
263.
And I honestly thought maybe that would slow him down and hurt him, but it didn't look like it did anything to him. It looked like it had zero effect. Usually when guys have to put on weight, you know, they're sluggish, they're slow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He didn't look any slower. So.
But listen. We talk about slowers and sluggish, right? Let's talk about Derek Lewis last fight, right? So, oh, fuck. Who was the dude? He fought that Russian? Was it the Russian dude? That was the Russian dude. Who did he knock the fuck out?
Oh,
Hold on. I'll fucking get on my young Jamie. Hold on. Derek Lewis last fight. Let's see who the fuck he knocked the fuck out. It wasn't Curtis Balance. Oh, that's his next fight? Oh, no. He won that. What the fuck? No.
Yeah.
I fucking hate the Google machine sometimes. Why is it? Oh, it was him. Did he not? Oh, it was Blades. He knocked the fuck out, I guess. A month ago. Yeah. Okay. So it was Blades.
Damn, Curtis Blades.
Yeah. 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 So Curtis Blades, whatever the fuck it is. He got knocked the fuck out. And Derek Lewis was low on testosterone. He took a test after the fight because he said he didn't feel good. Comes to find out he has low test, low T. So now, exactly, son. Yeah, son. So you can talk all that. No disrespect. I really can't pronounce his first name. I'm going to say Francis. You can talk all that Francis shit you want, dog. But once my man get the T right, I'm telling you. And then he's on mandatory arrest with the UFC right now. I'm telling you, son. He going to write. And then who knows if he wasn't. And then he's getting his knee right now and his back right. And he's on mandatory rest, bro. I want Derek Lewis to rip Francis the fuck apart.
Now, how do you feel about fighters getting testosterone? Are they going to give him just enough to make it a normal level for an adult male at his age and weight, or how is that? Because, you know, tests can do a lot of things. Look at Joe Rogan. He doesn't look his age because he them of us getting testosterone once a week.
So one, I'll say this. I don't know what they would do. I don't know if he can get it. I don't know. I would assume if he could get it, it would only be enough to put him where everyone else would be naturally.
Right.
But I don't know even if he could do that. He may have to do something more natural. I don't know if they would even allow that in the UFC. Actually, hold on. I think this is a really worthwhile Google. Hold on. Can you take testosterone in the UFC if you have low test? Let's see what it comes up. Let's see what they say. I'm gonna say Google has no answer. There's no answer on it. I don't see anything when you put it into the. So this was the Bing. So that's probably why. Fucking Bing. Let's try Google. Let's see if the Google machine works. That's what I probably should have did first. Everybody's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Google AI taking over.
Uh-oh. Hold on. MMA testosterone exemptions. Vitor Belfort was 33 years old when an Ultimate Fighting Championship doctor in Las Vegas, whose name has faded from his memory, diagnosed low testosterone as the cause for his feeling tired and lethargic. The fix for the two-time champion was testosterone replacement therapy regimen that continues to this day. Yeah, so there have been exemptions.
Yeah.
So now what they're probably going to do for the god, they're probably going to have it so that he'll get back to what would be considered normal levels. And
right.
If he gets, son.
You know, I think that would be a great fight. Don't forget, though, Francis Ngannou started from the mind. He wasn't that man lived a different kind of lifestyle, you know, growing up. I think he's got a different kind of toughness.
Did you hear about Derrick Lewis?
No,
he had a rough growing up. He's been to the prison, didn't know how he was gonna make it. Just got into fighting because you know he could end up. I think he could win like $50 or $100, whatever the fuck it was. Yeah, like he's literally fighting for survival.
Yeah,
like listen,
you know, I'm having a hard time watching the UFC, and I'll tell you why. I think it's because Dana White is letting these athletes get a little too much, they're acting up a little too much. You saw with Conor McGregor. I mean, that was his first monster, you know.
But you don't agree with, but like, okay, you don't think that characters sell tickets?
No, of course they do. What I'm trying to say is, you know, these fighters need to, they should be getting paid more. Dana White is not paying these fighters enough. We know that. You look at fighters in these other smaller venues, Bellator, ONE, these guys are getting paid more than people are in the UFC, and the UFC gets the most airtime. So in order for them to make the money, they have to sell the tickets. What do they have to do to sell the tickets? They have to act like assholes. It's just getting – it's like drama TV. It's just getting ridiculous. I want to see the top level – the peak of performance in men and women's fighting sports. I want to see you guys fight. I don't want to see you act like a clown on TV.
Oh, man. See, you know what? Because, see, I like wrestling. I like professional wrestling. The sports entertainment, I like that. So when I'm seeing these guys become a little bit characters and get a little wild with it, it gets me juiced up. Within reason, because I don't want them to become that. But, like, for instance.
Right.
When Daniel Cormier cut that promo and then Brock Lesnar gets into the ring and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And you're just, I live for those moments, dog. I live for that shit. You see what I'm saying? Like fucking, who had the fight? And then John Jones stood up and he just has his hands open and he's looking at like beast. Like
it's good. It's good for TV. But what I'm saying, sometimes it goes too far. It goes like, for instance, Conor throwing the dolly through the freaking bus window, hurting a bunch of people, dramatizing Rose. You know, she had a really dark past, and it just, you know, that you need to start watching because you create these monsters. These guys think they're untouchable because they have so much money, so much power, so much status that they kind of forget, you know, forget what's really going on.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's incredibly tough to manage. You know, it's gotta be.
Yeah. Because you're dealing with a bunch of emotional killers. These guys are emotional killers and they want to get paid. And then they have an image to uphold. And that whole Conor McGregor thing, that was a little bit gross. Because my whole thing is like, yo, listen, bro. You hurt so many other people. People fucked up. Like, because wasn't that the night before the fight or was that the ending of the fight?
No, yeah, that was, that had to be before.
Was it before
the fight?
And because, I think it was
a main card that was going to happen.
Hurting athlete. Like, it's got to be hard to manage, but I guarantee you. But then you know what, though? You, as bad as it may sound, if I'm Dana White and I'm looking at the product that I have, I look at the fan base that I have, and I look at how I am, as long as I do the right thing by the people that were involved, is it that actually doesn't hurt me? Because now people really want to see Conor get his shit pushed in.
Yeah,
he's gonna get arrested, whatever the case may be. He'll come out of jail. People are gonna want to see him fight again. I say that he can't for a while, yada yada yada. Then he'll come back.
Yeah, it's pretty much what happens every time.
Yeah, because it's been like I get what you're saying. You just want to see killers kill, you don't really care for the yapping. But besides you who trading it and you like the art of it and you're appreciating the actual combat of it, there's just a lot of people who just like seeing people. Like seeing these characters try to kill each other, gladiator style. So they don't really know. Right. They're not looking at the art, the mechanics of it. You see what I'm saying? So that's why, like, I do like a little bit. Like, don't get me wrong. Don't give me too much. Don't make it be you turned up. Don't be something else. Like, that's like the reason we all want to see Floyd get his shit pushed. And you're just like, I'm so sick of watching you just be an asshole. And then he never loses. You got Oscar De La Hoya coming out of retirement for that. What'd you think about that one?
I think Oscar De La Hoya is making a bad decision. And I'm saying this because, you know, I grew up, my father was a huge boxing fan, you know, and I watched a lot of Oscar De La Hoya growing up, and he was a great boxer. But you saw in those final years after he just started to lose and lose and lose, he kind of changed as a person. I don't know if he was getting punch drunk, if, you know, his brain was taking too much damage, but I think he needs to, you know. He was doing his managing thing, right? He's the one who signed that young kid, Ryan Garcia.
Was it him or Triple G? Is Ryan Garcia with Triple G?
I thought he was with Oscar De La Hoya's production team.
Let me see. Who is Ryan? Let me see. With Golden Boys, let's see. Sounds lucrative to deal with Golden Boys. Yeah. Yep. Oscar De La Hoya squad. You're right.
Yeah. To see him fight again, I mean, even watching Mike Tyson fight again, it was weird.
It was weird, but you know what I guess was weird about it is because Mike could have killed him. And I think that's the thing. And then it's like the thing with Mike is like Mike isn't good enough to fight prime time fighters in my mind. Like when people are talking about he's gonna be fighting for UFC heavyweight, for the boxing heavyweight championship, I'm like, you're out of your fucking rocker. But he's also way too good to fight his peers.
Right.
He's gotta fight like fighters who've been out the game for a few years and now coming back, but they may have had a name. You know what I'm saying? Like he's got a, like, I don't know who that would be. Like, I'm only thinking of like somebody like a Chuck Liddell. You know what I mean? Like, he would have to fight somebody like him who's still got it. But like, you hear that he's going to be fighting a Vander Holyfield. Evander, he can die. Like, I remember when Tyson released his video that time, you know, before they even announced the fight, he released that boxing video. And then, you know, he went on Rogan and said that video, like, you know, after he did that workout to put him out for like a fucking week. Fucking Evander Holyfield put out a video, bro. He looked like your grandfather doing boxing, like an old man. You see what I'm saying? Like you know what I'm saying? Like the old dude who you know got hands and could fuck a young nigga up who don't know what they doing, but you know, like, yeah. And he could fight other old niggas. But like Tyson's not your average old nigga.
And you know, I don't know who or what to attribute that to, because when he was on the Joe Rogan podcast, they did, you know, briefly talk about taking, like, you know, testosterone. You have the stem cell shots. You got all kinds of weird therapy that he was doing. So whether or not it's natural, Mike Tyson, who even knows? He could have a crazy advantage over these other people.
So here's the question, then, Big Dave. I'm gonna tell you right now, baby. I've never taken the juice. I don't take the juice currently. But one day, I'm going to be big. I'm going to have some really good doctors. And you best believe I will be on some kind of testosterone replacement therapy to keep my levels high and to keep you somewhat younger, rejuvenated. So, listen, the same, if they're all getting tested the same, Big Day.
Yeah,
so if Mike can do it, you can do it. If you don't want to do it, you get what you get.
Right.
You want to go in there with it?
I respect that.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I respect that, yeah. Like,
I'm just saying. Like, and then why wouldn't us – and here's my thing, Big Dave. Most of our insurances would cover that. So why wouldn't we get older? Why wouldn't we look into that? Why wouldn't
you think they – yeah, I guess as long as we're paying them, they'll probably want it to last as long as it could.
No, because it keeps you healthy. It'll keep you healthy.
Right.
Yeah,
and you can continue to pay your insurance, you know.
Yeah. You go to a specialist. Here's the thing, Dave. Why would – women do things to stay young. They do the Botox, do this, do that. Why wouldn't you or I, when we get older, we do the right thing. Even the doctor can prescribe it to you. Learn how to do it from the crib.
Yeah.
You just do the right thing to keep yourself up at levels when you were younger. So you can still work out, still do the jits.
Yeah.
Not look like an old fat fuck. Why wouldn't you take advantage of it? Like, why? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to be old and like a fat motherfucker. Like, I want to be one of those old dudes who you look at and you just like, I'm not fucking with you. Just leave me alone. Because I'm not going to bother you. But because, you know, a lot of times you got to pass that look test. It's fucked up nowadays because people don't understand.
Right.
Let me tell people something. You better stop picking on these people you think a little. I'm telling you, your best option is to pick on bigger people. Bigger people can't fight. Bigger people don't know how to fight. They big never been in fights. That's your best
option. That's what it is. They've never really had to fight I've been dealing with that a long time, you know, and jiu-jitsu gives you that confidence, you know, it really does. I've seen a lot of people come in and their lives be altered in a positive way because they learned how to, whether it was controlling themselves, controlling someone else, you know, very powerful tool, but stop picking on those little people. You think they're not dangerous and they're going to put you to sleep.
Dave will choke you with your tie.
I don't know, man. The one thing I will complain about, my back. My back is starting to hurt, man. I'm only 29 years old, but boy, I tell you, my back, sometimes, you know, because I roll with people ranging all kinds of sizes, 115 to.
Do you do any lifting?
Yes, actually. So that's something I've been trying to alter is trying to do more mobility exercises, trying to do a lot of stretching too before and after. Now I have to go to class early to roll myself out with a lacrosse ball. You know, just to get things untight because I used to be able to just run through a wall, just keep going all day long, not stop. Now I go hard and I train and do jiu-jitsu in the same day and I wake up, you know, if I don't do the proper cool downs or stretching, I'll be in a lot of pain.
So I had a question for you, big dog. I got a question for you, Killer Dave. You ever thought of the yoga?
So I actually, not that I do yoga, but I do some movements actually that my ex taught me, you know, some stretching out and stuff, certain things. You got your cobra pose.
Listen, player. I'm an advocate of the yoga.
Yeah?
The man DDP said, elongate the spine, turn back the hands of time. I'm telling you, son. Fuck with the I kind of been lifting a little bit more than doing yoga. I actually got to kind of get this back in balance because my body's feeling like a little tight. Get into the yoga, broseph.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you want to talk about flexibility, mobility, being able to just go. Like, so in my job, I have to lift heavy things, heavy people. That yoga on top of the working out, I'm able to literally just keep myself safe and just go from 0 to 100 if necessary. Obviously, in the weight room, I'm warming up, but I'm telling you something. That yoga, it's a different, because you get the flexibility, you're not overcompensating. And then if you are, I'm telling you, the yoga going to show you. It will show you your deficiencies. It will show you who you are. I'm telling you, so when you got to stick in something and really stick there on one side, and then you got to switch it and stick it the same way, you'll find out.
Nah.
And I guarantee you it'll fix you. Yo, I'm not going to tell you to do it for a month. If you do it for a month, you'll notice a change, but do it for like 3 months and tell me you're not choking niggas out easier. Because imagine if you're more flexible, how easy it's gonna be for you to get in and out of things. What you can do.
Right, yeah, 100%. 100%. Because I developed like a sort of stretching routine that I do just helps me feel a little better, you know.
What do you do?
Like I said, I just normal stretching. I start from the calves, work my way up quads, hips. I have like a serious problem for some reason with my right hip. I don't know if maybe it's just the way my body is, all the damage I've put it through that I'm, you know, maybe overcompensating with that right hip.
Right.
But in jiu-jitsu, you know, you're putting people in a guard, you're trying to shoot for those triangles, stuff like that. So I struggle trying to keep that hip loose. So I try to work that out. But I really want to try yoga. And especially I've heard good things about hot yoga as well, too.
Son, I've never done the hot yoga, but I've heard great things about hot yoga. The only yoga I've done DDP, which I like DDP because I'm an athlete. well, former athlete who still tries to keep himself active. So I like that. But then I've done like different other yogas that it's very like, it's a son, you'll adjust the fuck out of yourself. Like I adjusted my back the other day, bro. My back, when I adjusted it, I was like on fire, right? I thought something was wrong. We had to do some recordings and we did the recording. I had to stand the whole time and I'm just like, oh, I'm in pain. Not pain, but it was like a good pain. Laid down, woke up, was a brand new man.
Wow.
And this was, I did it during yoga. I was doing yoga and I used to do it before, but then, you know, this time I got it good and I felt like my, like, boom. And I was like, oh, this is different, but I was still sore. But then I'm telling you, son, it's a different kind of beast, bro. That's
it. Yeah, I'm going to have to give that a try. You go somewhere specific for yoga or you do it yourself?
Bro, they got this shit online, son.
Yeah.
You can give you like DDP got like a $9 a month membership. You could do that, or you can buy some CDs. You can watch them, or you could just like find someone on YouTube if you wanted to really just like, you know, keep it funky. Find someone on YouTube, just do them, you know what I mean? And then you'll find ones on different levels. I can give you some links to some of them. Like, you know what I mean? I think one that you could probably fuck with, like just because of your athletic ability. You may not be able to get down there truly the flexible. You may not be able to get down in all the positions like they do, but eventually you'll get to, you'll just get down to the point that you can, because they'll walk you through that shit. I'm telling you, bro. It's good shit. Do it right at the crib. At the crib.
Huh.
Son.
Man, I would appreciate that.
Son, it takes the middleman out of it.
I really kicked myself. I wish I would have started taking care of myself earlier. You know, my whole fitness journey really didn't start until like my mid-20s. So, I'm kicking myself now because I'm really starting. You start to feel it after a while, you know.
Fuck that, Big Dave. Don't kick yourself. I think you did it at the right time. You know what I'm saying? You're going into your 30s in shape, keeping your body right. Like, listen, brother. 40 is the new goddamn 20 now, bitch. You keep seeing how it's fucking going and going the way life is.
Yeah.
Don't kick yourself. Keep moving and grooving, baby. Don't even think about that shit. You on the right path. Now, listen here. Just because of the way that these streaming platforms go, we can't go for as long as I would like to sometimes. But I would damn it would like to have you back on for a part two. And I promise people, he will talk more. I know what you're saying. Dean kept talking. I'm going to rewatch the Rogan and Derek Lewis one. I'm going to see Rogan's tactics. And then we're going, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do the right thing. I promise y'all. Big Dave, I appreciate you for stopping on by. Next time, we're going to definitely talk about your poetry, get into different aspects of things. But, you know, listen, take your time. Tell people, you know, give them a hot take on your way out.
Hey, Big Dean, I appreciate it, man. I had a great time. Everybody, you know, we're going through a rough time here, but in the United States, it's getting really tough. But I think people need to work on coming together. You know, I think we, like Big Dean said, sit back, relax, unwind, come together, work as one, and let's hope for a brighter future, man. That's it.
It ain't black, it ain't white. I'm telling you, everything's in the gray. Once we think that, we'll get things done. I am Dean. That over there is the Big Dog Dave. This has been Conversations with Dean. Listen, I appreciate y'all. Peace, love, and chicken. We are out.